أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء. وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول. والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، we were talking about the subject of Adl, that is justice of God, and the fact that Adl is considered to be one of the fundamental beliefs of Islam, although there are three most fundamental ones, but then because of the importance the concept of Adl and justice has, it has been emphasized upon and it has been considered to be very important and worth to be counted among the fundamental Islamic beliefs. I talked about some of those reasons why it has been counted that much important, and one of those reasons was because there is a sect available in the Islamic world called Asha'ira who denied the Adl concept of Allah and proclaimed that it's okay for God to send all the messengers to the hell, which is against the Adl and justice of God, and it is okay for God to send all the sinners to the heaven again, which is against the justice of God. So since they had made unjust statements and spreading out unjust claims, it was very important to signify the belief of Adl, which was originally understood in the concept, and it fell under the concept of Tawheed automatically because we do believe in all the attributes of Allah, but it was specifically signified. And fundamentals of the religion are those of the beliefs. If you drop them, the whole religion would shatter. And Adl also falls in that category, because if somebody denies certainly the whole religion would shatter, and nothing wins from the religion if God is not just. So it's very important and very fundamental to understand and believe in the justice of Allah. But in order for anybody to understand the adl and justice of God, the prerequisite for this belief is to understand that understanding of justice of God relies on one basic fact, and that is the istiqlal of aql, the independence of human intellect to understand the good and bad. What in the technical Islamic term we say al-husn al-aqli wal-qubh al-aqli, al-hasan al-aqli wal-qabih al-aqli. That means husn al-qubh al-aqli. Al-aql and human intellect, aql means intellect. The human intellect is independent to understand what is good and what is bad. At least to the fundamental level, at least to the basic level. Certainly the aql cannot understand all the details of all the good things and all the details of all the bad things, which we know. And that's precisely one of the reasons why we need the wahi and revelation. If intellect was able to understand all the good things and all the bad things in full detail, there was no need for God to send down 124,000 prophets and all those messengers. You know, among them there were 313 messengers and all the books and revelations and signs, because aql was able to understand, intellect was able to understand on its own. But no, aql cannot understand all the details, but we are not talking about all those details right now. What we are talking about is the istiqlal of aql in the sense, the independence of aql in the sense that aql is able to understand basically what is good and what is bad. This much. And which aql is able to understand that much. And this has to be understood in the initial stage, before we get started, before we talk about the justice of God. Why is it important to understand the independence of aql before we get started about justice of God? Because the concept of justice of God, in order to understand it, rests on the fact that aql has to be given independence. And the reason why those Asha'ira have denied, actually the reason gets back to the fact they denied the independence of aql and intellect. That's why they denied the justice of God. So we believe that the human intellect is independent in the basic level to understand the good and bad about things at the initial level. And since we understand the good and bad, the husn and qubh, the good and bad about the things, that's why our intellect forces us to believe that Allah performs only what is good to be performed, and Allah never performs anything which is bad and qabih to be done. He never does that, because that is qabih and bad and evil in the eyes of aql and intellect. So since there is aql and intellect already, which is also one of the blessings of God himself, I mean, he's the one who created Aql, he's the one who created intellect, he's the one who blessed us with this blessing of intellect. So it's him, as actually that goodness also turns back to him. He's the creator of that goodness as well. So since he has first provided us a yardstick, first provided us a criteria, first provided us a way of measuring and judging, that's why using that yardstick will make us, it will enable us to judge his justice and to believe in his justice and to understand that all what God does is good and hasan, and nothing of his actions is kabih or bad or evil or condemned. So because we have akal and intellect already awarded to us by God, that's why we are able to judge the goodness and to believe that since God never performs anything which is evil, never performs anything which is bad, that's why all what is done by God is good. And all what is sent down by God in his Sharia, in the revelations through his messengers, is nothing but good. So we have to have a yardstick in advance to understand that. And that yardstick is called akal and intellect. So we have to believe that the akal, the human intellect, is independent, which is a blessing of God rewarded to us. And this, through this yardstick, we understand that God never performs anything which is bad, and all what he does is nothing but good, which is actually the fundamentals of the beliefs of justice. If this independence was not given to human intellect, what would have happened? If the human intellect was not given independence to judge the husn and qubh of the things, to judge the goodness and the evil of the things, to judge the things are bad or good, in that case, first of all, it would have been possible for God to send down a liar prophet with a miracle and certify him to be a prophet. God forbid, na'udhu billah min zalik. But it would have been possible. Why? And we, in that case, would have no way to judge that this prophet, he's a liar or he's a truth-telling person. We had no way to judge. Since there is an intellect, there is a yardstick which already is awarded to everybody. Look at the reality. Even the believers and the non-believers both have been given the yardstick of intellect. And then we have the message. We have the yardstick. The humanity has been given the yardstick, and now we have the revelations coming. So, because the yardstick is available before that, it's impossible for any human with that yardstick of intellect to accept that God can provide a prophet who is a liar with a miracle. It's impossible to accept. Why is it impossible? Because sending a liar prophet is kabih, is condemned, is bad. And God, the Creator, cannot perform anything which is bad. It's our intellect judges that it is bad and kabih. So we need to have intellect before to judge. Second of all, if we do not accept the husn and qubh, the good and bad, in the eyes of intellect, to be preceding to be available in advance as a yardstick. In that case, the second harm would be that the creation of all the humankind and making them mukallaf, obliging them to do all the taklif and all the duties from God's behalf, would become useless. The creation of humankind would become useless and purposeless, and making them mukallaf, obliging them of different duties, would also become useless. Why? Because God, being the creator and all knowledgeable creator, it knows in advance, since azal, since ever, he knows who is good and who is bad. And he would have sent all the humans, you know, to wherever they deserve. All the humans whomsoever deserves to go to the heaven, he would have sent them to the heaven. And all those who deserve to go to the hell, he would have sent them to the hell, without even creating the humankind. Why create the humankind? If our human intellect is unable to judge what is good and bad, why create the humankind? Let Allah send anybody whom He knows will go to the heaven, let Him send to the heaven in advance. And let Allah send all those whom He knows will go to the have a hellfire in the future, let Allah send them to the hellfire in advance. Why create us on this earth? Why send us on this earth? And why, oblige us to do all those duties? Allah knows in advance. And why talk about the istihqaq? That who deserves to go to the heaven, he is mustahak, he is deserving of going to the heaven because he has performed all the taklif, all the duties, all the obligations according to the revelation. And he, such and such person, deserves to go to the hell because he has istihqaq, he is mustahak, he is deserving of going to the hell according to the justice, because he failed to perform all that taklif, all those duties and obligations according to the revelation. The concept of istihqaq and deserving of going to the heaven and hell, again, the concept of reward and punishment, the concept of heaven and hell, it all rests actually on the fact that akal and intellect should be considered as a yardstick to judge. And even Islamically speaking, when we define sawab and reward, it is defined as as-sawabu huwa an-naf'u al-mustahaq al-muqarinu lit-ta'zim wal-ijlal. Reward is defined Islamically as a benefit deserved, a benefit which is deserved by someone, which accompanies respect and majesty and honor. So when we define reward as a benefit which somebody deserves, and that benefit accompanies respect and honor, so we will never be able to to respect or to provide ta'zeem and respect or to honor someone who does not deserve. Because the definition of reward says huwa an-naf'u al-mustahaq, that's the benefit which is deserved by somebody. Somebody deserves this benefit. And in addition, that benefit accompanies a respect which is given to him. So a deserved benefit is called reward. accompanied by respect. So somebody deserves the benefit. How come somebody deserves the benefit? If Allah knows, when Allah knows that who deserves heaven and who deserves hell, who will be a good doer and who will be a bad doer, so, you know, the whole, Allah would have sent, Allah could have sent anybody into the, you know, who deserves to the heaven, straight away to the heaven, and anybody who deserves the hellfire straight away to the hellfire. But this deserving thing actually is about us. That means our intellect needs to deserve, needs to judge who deserves and who does not deserve. On Allah's side, He already knows. And He knew since the beginning. He is all knowledgeable since ever. There is no limit, and His knowledge is absolute. And His knowledge is in His thought, nothing but His essence. He knew since ever. When we say the reward means a benefit which is deserved by somebody, actually we are talking about deserving which has to be judged by the human intellect. So when we mean this, a deserving of a benefit which need to be, this deserving has to be judged by the human intellect, then actually it makes sense that we humans need to understand and realize whether we failed to perform the duties we were obliged or we succeeded to perform the duties that we were obliged to do. If we failed to perform the duties that we were obliged to do in the life of this world, then we deserve the punishment in the Day of Judgment. And if we succeeded to perform the duties we were obliged to do on earth, then we deserve to go to the heaven. So this deserving, the judgment about whether we deserve or whether we do not deserve, whether we deserve to go to the heaven or we do not deserve to go to the heaven, this deserving and istihqaq has to be judged by the yardstick of intellect. That's what we are, that's what we mean. Otherwise Allah knows already. He knew already. And this istihqaq comes after doing the action. Because before doing the action, nobody becomes deserving of anything. When you do an action, whether you do good or you do bad, then you become deserving of a punishment or a reward. And that punishment has to be realized by the intellect. So, you may, if you want, you may say that Al-Adl al-Ilahi, the concept of the justice of Allah, rests on adamu tark al-wajib al-aqli, that God never leaves any intellectual wajib. You may say that, and that would be a correct statement. When we believe that, at Islam, when we believe that God is just, it means that Allah never leaves anything which is compulsory and obligatory and wajib in the eyes of aql. Anything which aql condemns, anything which aql considers to be evil and bad, can never be done by God. And anything which the aql considers to be good and appreciated and necessary will be done by God. So, after having learned the fact that the concept of justice of Allah, and we shall continue a little bit more in the next lesson about that, because there are certain details, we maybe a couple of lessons which need to be you know, understood in a bit more detail, but after understanding that the concept of justice of God rests on the fact that Allah has given independence to our akal in the initial level. Of course, we are not talking about the higher levels, which akal is unable to understand, which I have already emphasized in the beginning of my speech, and even in the previous lessons of Tawheed, that the things related to the revelation are, of course, beyond the reach of akal to understand on its own independently. But we are right now talking about the initial level. So in the initial level, yes, the akal has independence, and it understands what is good and what is bad. And the most fundamental thing is to realize the akal is made as a yardstick and criteria by Allah Himself. And the husn and qubh of the things, which is a technical Islamic term, the good and bad about the things. When we say certain things are good, we say in Arabic, we say that thing is hasan, that is good, and certain things are bad. In Arabic, we say it is qabih. So the hasan and qabih among the things, or this concept has three meanings. The first two meanings are a matter of consensus among all the major Islamic sects available. The Shiite Twelver Imami, Isna Ashari Imamiyya sect, and the Mu'tazila, and the Asha'ira. All three agree on the first two meanings which I'm going to tell you about the husn and qubh, the good and bad about the things. What's the meaning of good and bad? There are three different meanings for the word good and bad. The first two meanings are agreed upon by all the three major sections and sects. The last meaning of husn and qubh, good and bad among the things, is a matter of controversy. So, what are the first two meanings? The first meaning of good and bad among the things is defined as a good is something which is sifatul kamal, which is an attribute, any attribute of perfection, any good attribute, any perfect attribute. Like ilm, knowledge. Knowledge is a good attribute of the soul. Well, there's the, of course, it is good. It's sifatul kamal. It's an attribute of perfection. It's a perfect attribute. It's a good attribute. And this, the fact that a human intellect is able to understand this sifatul kamal, this attribute of perfection, this good attribute, everybody agrees upon. There is no controversy. The meaning of qubh, according to the first meanings, first of the three meanings, the meaning of hasan and good is the sifatul kamal, like any good and perfect attribute, and the meaning of bad and qabih is sifatul naqs, any bad attribute which is considered to be a shortcoming, a naqs, like jahl, ignorance. Ignorance is a bad attribute. This meaning of husn and qubh, this meaning of good and bad, there is no controversy about that. Okay, let's go to the second meaning of good and bad. The second, according to the second meaning, the good, the hasan means muwafiqu at-tab', something which is in sync with the human nature, and the human by nature likes it, and qabih means, according to the second meaning, the word qabih is defined as something which is mukhalifut tab', something that the human nature does not like. What are the examples of hasan and qabih according to the second meaning? The second meaning of the word hasan and qabih says that hasan means something which is in sync with the human nature, muwafiq of the human tab and nature, like all the mustalizat, all the pleasures of this world. The human nature is inclined towards the pleasures. So all the things towards which the human nature is inclined, all the pleasures, for example, are good. In that meaning, there is no controversy. And what's the meaning of the word qabih and bad? All those things which the human nature dislikes, and they are not in sync with the human nature, like alam, like all the sorrows and pains. Of course, the human nature dislikes the sorrows, dislikes the pains. So the word hasan and qabih, good and bad, if they are taken in these two meanings, which I have told you right now, hasan taken in the meaning of a good attribute, and bad taken in the meaning of a bad attribute, there is no controversy about it. The word hasan and qabih in the second row of meanings, if the word hasan is taken in the meaning of anything which is according to the human nature, which is in sync with the human nature, all the pleasures, for example, and bad being defined as anything which is against the human nature, like all the sorrows and pains available, qabih taken in that meaning, there is no controversy about that. When we come to the third meaning, which is defined for these two words, hasan and qabih, good and bad, there is a third meaning also defined for them. There arises the controversy among their different sects. The third meaning of hasan and qabih, good and bad, is that hasan, that means a good thing, is defined as a thing upon which the doer becomes mustahak and deserving of praise in this world and deserving of reward in the hereafter. Hasan and good action is defined as something the doer is considered to be mustahak and deserving of praise in this dunya, in this world, and deserving of reward and sawab in the hereafter. This kind of action is called hasan and good. And qabih, that means bad, is defined as an action that the doer of that action is considered to be deserving of mazammat and condemnation in this dunya, in this world. The doer is considered to be deserving of condemnation, deserves to be condemned in this world, and the doer deserves, considered to be deserving of punishment and azab in the hereafter. If we take the meaning of hasan and qabih, good and bad actions, in this third meaning of the words, there the controversy arrives among the different sects. And here we find that our Isna Ashari 12er Imami, we believe that that this is the meaning which need to be, which we also mean and we believe in, that is part of our Islamic belief. And Allah never performs anything, Allah never obliges us of anything which the doer in this world need to be and deserves to be condemned in this world and deserves to be punished in the hereafter upon doing that. Allah never performs any such thing. And Allah performs all those things and obliges us to do all those things which the doer deserves to be praised upon in this world and rewarded with sawab. He deserves to be rewarded with sawab in the hereafter. That's what we believe. And this belief is shared by the Mu'tazila sect as well, along with us. Whereas the Asha'ira disagree and disbelieve in this concept with both of us. So, coming to the summary of what I said, and we shall continue, like I said, we shall continue about this subject in a couple of more sessions, because there are a few more details, and I would really suggest the brothers and sisters to, if you have any, certainly if you have certain things, you know, unfinished in your mind, I strongly hope that those unfinished things will be finished as soon as we finish the subject of Hasan and Qabih, as soon as we finish the subject of good and bad things in the eyes of intellect, in the upcoming approximately two more lessons, then those unfinished, possible unfinished things will be finished in your minds, inshallah. Because there are some more things which need to be understood about this subject. So, summarizing what we have learned up till now is that we believe that God is just, and the belief of the justice, belief about the justice of God, cannot be realized and understood unless we give independence to the human intellect to be considered as a yardstick in the initial stage, not to the fullest stage by ignoring the wahi and revelation, not at all, but in the initial stage, yes, the akal and intellect need to be considered as a yardstick, given independence to judge what is good and what is bad, what action is good and what action is bad, what is hasan and what is qabih, what is good and what is bad. So once akal has been given the independence and made a yardstick to judge what is good and what is bad, then we will be able to understand the justice of God. And that yardstick has been provided to us by God Himself. And if we do not give this independence to the human intellect is unable to judge between good and bad. So whatever akal considers to be good is good, and whatever akal considers to be bad is bad. And sharia, the laws which are sent down in the revelation by Allah, actually strengthen, emphasize, and do the ta'keed of what akal has considered to be good and what akal has considered to be bad. Plus, of course, every law of the sharia is according to the human intellect or higher than the level of human intellect, regular human intellect. But it is intellectual, It's not contradictory to the intellect. And nothing in the Sharia can be against the human intellect. So in Islam we believe that kullama hakama bihi al-aql hakama bihi al-shar' wa kullama hakama bihi al-shar' hakama bihi al-aql. Both ways it's true. Whatever the aql gives a verdict about, whatever verdict the aql and intellect gives, the same verdict is given by the Sharia as well. And whatever verdict is given by the Sharia, the same verdict is given by the aql as well. So that's precisely why at Islam we believe that every law which is revealed by Allah in the Sharia is A, either equal to the level of human intellect, B, or it is higher than the level of human intellect, but according to intellect. Yes, it may be higher to our level of human intellect, but not higher to the level of the intellect of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So again, it is in sync with intellect, but that intellect may be higher than our intellect. So it's not contrary to the intellect, it is in sync with the intellect, but that intellect is higher than our intellect. So nothing is contradictory to the human intellect. Sharia is always according to the intellect, and intellect is always according to the Sharia. Since that sort of independence and that sort of importance has been given to the intellect, that is precisely how we will be enabled to judge in the future. After learning that, we will become enabled to judge what God has done. All what God has done is nothing but adl and justice, because once we decide by the yardstick of intellect that this thing is hasan and good, then we will always be able to realize that all what God does is nothing but good. And once we understand by the yardstick of intellect that this thing is qabih and condemned in this world, and this thing is considered to be bad in this in the eyes of intellect, then we would be able to understand that God will never oblige us to do anything which is condemned in this world. And that thing will be, which is necessarily condemned in this world, will be having a punishment in that world, in the hereafter as well. So aql and intellect is enabled by God Himself to understand what is hasan and good fi nafsihi, and what is qabih and bad and evil fi nafsihi, in itself. So everything which is hasan, it is hasan fi nafsihi. Everything which is good, it is good in itself. And everything which is qabih, it is qabih fi nafsihi. Everything which is bad, it is bad in itself. So that's why our intellect is able to understand what is bad and what is good, and able to judge. Once we are enabled to judge, then we would be able to understand and realize and believe all what God does has to be good, and all what He condemns and He asks us to abstain and obliges us to abstain has to be bad. That's why He has obliged us to abstain. And inshallah, in the next lesson we would start about the three evidences about the fact that hasan and qabih, or the husn and qubh, the goodness and the bad of the things is there, and it is proven by three evidences. Inshallah, we shall continue about the husn and kufr, the good and bad of the things, in the next lesson with a few more details about that.
Thank you very much, Maulana. A number of very important points you made there. If there are any questions, please raise your hand or type in your questions, and I will convey them to Maulana, although he himself can also see, I suppose. If there are any questions, please put them forward. Yes, so the question is, if anyone, what if on a particular law of Sharia, the human knuckle says one thing, and the suprahuman knuckle driving the Sharia says another thing? And if that is the situation, then how do we achieve the objective of human will, of human aql eventually transcending or ascending to the level where it can understand the aql behind all of the laws of Sharia?
What we are emphasizing the ultimate objective is that humans understand every law on the basis of their aql. Not necessarily. What is our objective is that we need to decide one basic formula once and for all, which is going to help us about everything that God has applied us to do. And that basic formula is that we must understand that aql is independent to judge what is good and what is bad. And since aql has been given this independence to judge what is good and what is bad, then we are enabled to realize on our own that all what God will oblige us to do is always has to be good always and can never be bad. See the beauty of Allah. He has enabled us himself in the beginning and given us the power and ability to realize what is good and what is bad, differentiate what is good and what is bad, and then he obliges us to do something. So then we are now enabled to judge. Well, when God himself enabled us and empowered us to judge and differentiate between good and bad, now he's obliging us to do, it has to be nothing but good. And he's obliging us to abstain, it has to be nothing but evil and bad, after he has himself empowered us. So that's the basic formula. We need to learn this formula before we could be able to go further about the justice discussion of God. Now, the second segment of your question is that ultimate objective is that humans understand every law. No, that's not the point. The ultimate objective is the humans become obedient and they do the worship of God. They obey and they perform what they were obliged to perform. Now, it's good to understand what you do, and nobody denies that, but it depends on which level of aql do we belong. If we are humans having a lower level of intellect, or we fail to elevate our level of intellect, we would be eligible to understand certain rulings and certain wisdoms of certain rulings only. And we will miss out on the rest of the rulings, rest of the wisdoms of the rulings. In order for us to understand, there is nobody stopping us from understanding the wisdoms of all the rulings. In order for us to become eligible to understand the wisdoms and reasonings behind all the rulings, what we are supposed to do is elevate our level of intellect. If a ma'soom, infallible imam is available next to us, or we have access to him, we can always go and ask him, and he can always tell us all what we need to know, on all that we deserve to be told. He can always tell us, and we can learn of something which we fail to understand because our level of intellect was lower. But again, let's not forget that even the Prophet and actually all the Prophets are like that, and all the Imams are like that. They may not tell us something which we do not deserve to know, and we do not deserve to be told something that we do not deserve. That does not translate that those of the rulings of Sharia are not compatible with the Aql. They are compatible. Nothing is against Aql. Nothing is contradictory to Aql, because all the laws are made by the Creator of intellect. When we believe, and this also we learned through our intellect. See, the formula has been given by God to us, and this basic formula of human intellect derives and understands enables us to realize that since God is the Creator of intellect, He can never oblige us to do which is against intellect. So, yes, it may be true that apparently an ignorant person may, out of his ignorance, call this thing to be unintellectual, because his level of intellect was very, very low. And because of his ignorance, he's misjudging the things. But our intellect is independent to judge that all the laws of the Sharia are made by the Creator of intellect. And how can it be possible that the Creator of intellect makes something or obliges us to do something which is against the intellect? That's unintellectual. That's something which is condemned by our intellect, something which is unacceptable to our intellect. That's why, even if I fail to understand the wisdom behind some of the rulings of God, I'm not going to challenge. I will still stay as obedient person and still continue to worship my Creator and do what He has obliged me to do. And if I fail to understand, yes, there's no, there's no restriction in learning. I will always go to somebody who knows more than me. I will always go to a masoom, and he can tell me. And if I don't deserve to be told something, then in the beginning, I need to elevate my level and then go see the masoom and ask him. Because masoom, Prophet has said, إِنَّ مَعَاشَرَ الْأَنْبِيَا أُمِرْنَا أَنْ نُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ عَلَى قَدْرِ أُقُولِهِمْ. We, the group of prophets, we are commanded, in other words, we are commanded by Allah to talk to people according to their mental level. And that's also intellectual for them to talk about that. That's nothing but aql. That's nothing but intellectual to talk like this. Because we don't deserve to be knowing unless we elevate our levels of intellect ourselves. We can elevate our levels of intellect. And that also depends on obedience and ibadat. The more you obey Allah, the higher level of intellect you will be awarded.
Thank you, speaker. I have typed in my follow-up question, which is that, so if in the end it boils down to believing in Allah's wisdom, what is the practical difference between those who give primacy to Aql and those who do not? So, for example, we, the Imami Shia, say that all laws are eventually subject to Aql. Some are humanly comprehensible, others are humanly non-comprehensible. Is it that they, the non-Shia, say that God decides what is Aql or Adl in every case, whereas we say He has that role in matters where we do not fully understand? So it's a difference of degree, rather than an absolute difference.
Please allow me to add one more thing here. I guess there is no question coming. Since we're talking about the Aql and the obedience, Aql is directly related to obedience. And Aql is actually nothing but obedience of God. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has defined Aql, and that is in Al-Kafi, that Al-Aql ma'ubidat bihir Rahman, وَاكْتُسِبَ بِهِ الْجِنَانِ Aql is something through which Rahman, that means Allah, is obeyed. Allah is worshipped. Aql is something through which Allah is worshipped. So Aql and the paradise is achieved. So Aql is all about obedience and worship. So the more we increase in our worship, the higher level of Aql we will achieve. And when Allah created, in Usul al-Kafi, we find in our book al-Kafi, there's a whole chapter called Kitab al-Aql, the chapter of intellect, where they talk, where it's a beautiful discussion about what Aql is and how it is, and you know, what's the, how it is created, I mean, about its creation, and beautiful information about that. So, and we find a hadith where you know, we are told that when Allah created Aql, Allah commanded it, Aqbil, come forward. Fa'aqbala, Aql came forward. And then Allah said, Adbir, go back. And Aql went back. And then Allah said, I did not create anything in my creation more beloved than you. Iyaka u'aqib wa iyaka usib. I am going to reward you and I am going to punish you. So actually our entire rewards and entire sets of punishments are based on our Aql. Since we have Aql, we are not supposed to disobey. Since we have Aql, we are not supposed to do the sins. Since we have Aql, we are supposed to obey. Since we have Aql, we are supposed to do all the obediences. It's because of Aql that we are supposed to do obediences. Our Aql is supposed to guide us to follow the Sharia. Our Aql is supposed to guide us for all what God has obliged us to do and the prophets and imams have obliged us to, you know, to do. So it's all because of Aql. And that is the yardstick. And that is the, it's all about obedience. So if we want to elevate our level of Aql to understand the higher level of things, we need to elevate our level of obedience and worship, and we will be awarded the higher level of understanding. Thank you.